Good morning. My name is Grace, and we're going to read from John 20, verse 1 to 20 today. You can find that on page 756 on the Pew Bible, or you can follow on screen. Early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he has said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Happy Easter, everyone. My name's Elliot. Well, we've got people shouting it back. That's great. My name's Elliot. I'm one of the ministers at the church. My role here is to run the Monday dinners and to help people look into Jesus. And so if you're here today as someone who doesn't usually go to church, I just wanted to say welcome, acknowledge that it can be quite a big thing to walk into a church. Easter's a great day to walk into church, but you're welcome any week. So great to have you here today. I was on my jog yesterday, and the podcast I was listening to ended with, "Happy Easter if you celebrate." Happy Easter if you celebrate. And that's the thing in Sydney, isn't it, that some people celebrate, some people don't. But for those of you who do celebrate Easter, it would have to be one of the happiest days of the year. If you think about what Easter means to those who have faith, it would have to be one of the most joyful celebrations that you could ever imagine. And we say Happy Easter because for the last 2,000 years, it's been making many, many people happy. It's like a fountain of happiness. So when I look around the room today, what I'm looking to see is who's coming today with a smile on their face, who's coming happy, who's here to celebrate, and who's bringing the energy. I've seen some of you really energetic when you've walked in today. When I was, it was a while back now, I walked into a cafe once with Michelle, who's now my wife. At the time, we walked into the cafe and the lady who was running the cafe said, "Why do you look so happy? What is going on?" And it's because 20 minutes earlier, we'd just gotten engaged. And we walked into this cafe and you could not wipe the smile off our faces. And she could tell, and she says, "You're bringing positive energy into my cafe." And she gave us free food and she said, "Thanks for coming into my cafe." Well, that's the kind of energy that God invites us to bring to church today as we celebrate Easter. But the truth is, there's a whole lot of stuff in our lives that maybe sap the energy, take away the joy. And so you're turning up today. Not everyone has that kind of positive energy. Today I'm hoping that some of the things I share from this passage will lift your spirits, maybe turn some of the darkness in your life into powerful rays of sunshine. So let's think about, I've got a three-point outline for today, things that come out of John chapter 20. Here's my three-point outline: peace, light, and joy. The first thing about Easter that lifts our spirits is peace. In verse 19, it says this: Jesus came to his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." There's a lot of depth to what he's saying here. When he says, "Peace be with you," it hasn't been very peaceful lately because Jesus has been executed. That's not very peaceful. Peter has denied Jesus three times. That's not very peaceful. Now they're in a locked room because they're afraid for their lives. That is not very peaceful. So when Jesus turns up and says, "Peace be with you," there's a lot of depth to what he's saying there. I would suggest that there's three layers of depth that I want to bring to your attention when Jesus says, "Peace be with you." First, it's peace in the presence of divinity. They call Jesus Lord because that's who he is. By this time when we're in John's gospel, we've meant to have gotten to the point where we say, "My Lord and my God." And so the appearing of Jesus in the middle of a locked room is a spiritual experience. It's a divine encounter. And in other parts of the Bible, when someone had an experience like this, a divine encounter, they usually fell down and said, "Don't come near me. I'm a sinful person. I'm not worthy to be in your presence." Whereas Jesus turns up the divine presence and says, "Peace be with you. No need to be afraid." The second level of depth is peace under his leadership. They used to feel peace when they thought Jesus was in charge, but they'd lost confidence that Jesus was in charge because Jesus got arrested, Jesus got killed. They'd lost their sense of confidence in his leadership. They were perplexed. They were so confused. They couldn't understand what had happened to their powerful leader, but now Jesus is back. And he shows that he didn't lose his power, he had power all along. So they can trust his leadership, he's still in control. Peace be with you. Peace under the leadership of Jesus Christ. The third layer of peace under his leadership is that it's the peace of reconciliation. Now he's speaking to guys like Peter who had denied Jesus three times and he says, "Peace be with you." He's speaking to the disciples who had abandoned Jesus and not believed in the resurrection. And Jesus turns up and says, "Peace be with you." So this is the third layer of peace. It's reconciliation. So put all those layers together about when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," here is the joyful message of Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is about peace in the presence of divinity. A lot of us are afraid to meet God. A lot of us are afraid that God would judge us. A lot of us are afraid because if we were to meet God, we would say, "Away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful person." But on Easter Sunday, Jesus turns up, and the first thing he says to those that have betrayed him is, "Peace be with you." And he has the ability to speak this on behalf of God because he is my Lord and my God. He turns up and he says, "Peace be with you." And he has the ability to say that and mean it because of everything he's done on Good Friday and Easter Sunday to bring peace. You know, the peace symbol is a sign of a V for victory because it usually represents victory at war, which brings a time of peace. Jesus has had the victory over death. Jesus has had the victory over sin. Jesus has had the victory over the devil and now has brought peace. He is the Lord that brings peace into your life. So I hope that lifts your spirits. Do not be afraid of God. Come to God and find peace. Now, the second thing about Easter that has the ability to lift your spirits is light. Actually, I'd call this darkness that becomes light. That's the emoji there of darkness becoming light. It says in verse 1 that it was still dark when Mary went to the tomb. And in John, darkness is symbolic. We've been talking about this at church as we've looked into John, that darkness is symbolic of a lot of different things, but in this case, it's symbolic of doubt or the inability to see and understand the truth. Because Jesus has a number of times said that he's going to rise from the dead, but as a human, you know, nature, it's not within our ability to believe in things we've never seen or imagined. And so we've got this capacity to take the words of Jesus when he says he's going to rise from the dead and twist it into something, maybe take away the meaning so that there is no possibility of the resurrection from the dead. This is called darkness. And in the story, what we're about to see is darkness that becomes light. Mary goes to the tomb in darkness, but the darkness is about to be taken away so she can see what's really taking place. But it does begin with Mary crying in verse 11, and we're drawn into her grief. And then two angels in white, bright white, appear and speak to her, and they say, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she explains her tears, "They've taken my Lord away." And then she turns to Jesus and doesn't recognize Jesus because she's still in the dark. And Jesus repeats the same question, "Woman, why are you crying?" The suggestion is, now is not the time for crying. Jesus is alive. Jesus changes the question, "Who are you looking for?" The suggestion is, it's no longer time for looking because the one you're looking for is the one you're looking at. She just doesn't recognize him yet. It's not until Jesus says, "Mary," that she recognizes his voice. And her cries of grief turn into cries of excitement and recognition. Rabboni, she sees her teacher and she's so excited that he is alive. He's gone from dead to alive, and now she's seeing the plans of God unfolding. The light of God's plans are unfolding before her very eyes, and Jesus would die and rise and ascend to the Father in heaven. Jesus adds, verse 17, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is where the lights become even brighter. Jesus is saying two things here that brighten the lights. The first gives more clarity and insight. Do not cling on to me. I am going to the Father. I am ascending. This is the plan of God, that Jesus would ascend into heaven. The second thing that's really special here, which is a bright light, is that this is the first time that Jesus is speaking to the disciples and calling God their Father. Now, the way through John's Gospel, Jesus has been speaking about God as his Father and inviting them into that relationship. But now that Jesus has risen from the dead, he calls the disciples his brothers and he calls God my Father and your Father. And this family language of being welcome into the household of God takes us back to the beginning of John's Gospel when Jesus, it says in John 1 that Jesus is the light of the world who would come into the world and bring light to all people, but people didn't recognize the light. But to those who did, it says in chapter 1, verse 12, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is the light of Easter, if you have eyes to see it. That when Jesus rises from the dead, he invites you into the household of God. He invites you to call him your brother. He invites you to call God your father, because Jesus is alive. And all who believe, not just the disciples, but all who believe, have the right to become children of God. The lights get even brighter when you piece this together with the things that Jesus has been saying. So Jesus has already said to his followers in John chapter 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is the ascension of Jesus. This is tying in with Jesus saying, "Don't cling on to me. I've got to go to heaven. I've got to go." Why? To prepare a room for you, to prepare a place for you in the household of God. And this is the bright light that is offered to troubled hearts for whatever you're going through. There is this hope that Jesus is saying, "I'm ascending to give you the light of hope, which is eternal hope." This is the kind of hope that can bring light into your own troubles. And I don't say that lightly, because I know that when you walk into church today, you've got shadows in your life. Perhaps some of you are coming from a very dark situation. And it's different for everyone. Some of us have lives that are pretty good right now, but some of us have lives that are filled with all kinds of darknesses. There is a ray of light here in what Jesus is saying. Dave McDonald wrote a book called Hope Beyond Cure. And this is an example of someone going through the darkest of days. He shares his personal faith story when he was struggling with his cancer. In his book, he says, "I didn't ask for the cancer. I want it to go away, and I long to be healthy again. But I can't control these things. If I focus only on my circumstances, then my hopes and fears will rise and fall according to what I'm experiencing. Hope will depend on a good diagnosis, a new treatment, increased wealth, returning to work, a new relationship, or some other improvement in my circumstances. When these things fail, so will my hope. Any hope based on these things will be pathetically weak and unreliable. God reminds me that hope doesn't come from me being in control of my circumstances. Rather, real hope comes through trusting that he is near, that he will not forget me, and that he will work out all things for good." This is light. Now, not all of us have had the darkest darkness to suffer. But to think that this man is able to find light and hope in the midst of his darkest days shows that those who are going through lesser struggles, the daily dark shadows of each day, there is hope for all of us. Desmond Tutu wrote or said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." And he said that in the midst of apartheid as he was looking for the hope of a brighter day. You might be overwhelmed by the darkness in your life, but can you see, because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is light? Easter Sunday is not meant to be an answer to all of your struggles. Jesus suffered greatly. And Easter Sunday does not take away your struggles. However, Jesus does bring a light into your life of the plans of God, that Jesus is alive in heaven, preparing a room for you. If you come in faith and believe in Jesus, you can be a child of the household and have eternal hope. The disciples didn't understand it. They didn't get it. They were hoping for immediate relief. They wanted instant rescue, a king and a Messiah who would bring away their troubles and bring them into a new period of peace and prosperity. But Jesus had his heart set on a forever solution. And although the resurrection of Jesus does not take away your tears, it does introduce a new joy. And this is my last point about how Easter can lift your spirits. And it has to do with joy. I've chosen the starstruck emoji for this one because it's the great presence of Jesus that actually brings them joy. And you see this in verse 20. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The word there, overjoyed, is better than happiness. It's like a fountain of happiness. I said that at the beginning. Easter brings people so much happiness for the last 2,000 years. Here they're meeting the Lord and they are overjoyed. Now it's easy to see why they're overjoyed, because they thought he's dead, but he's alive. They literally saw their old friend. But on another level, this is actually hinting at a deeper joy that's available to all in the presence of the Lord. There's a deep layer here that there is starstruck joy to be found when you are welcomed into the presence of God. Before Jesus died, he was talking to his disciples to prepare them for his death. And he said this, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." How is it possible that no one would take away their joy once Jesus is risen from the dead? With all of the troubles that they're going to face in their life, how is it possible to say that they will have a fountain of everlasting joy, overflowing joy? He goes on to add, "In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Until now, very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Joy is complete when you are able to enter the starstruck presence of the Lord and consider him to be your Father, and you are welcomed into the presence of God so that you can pray and speak directly to God. And that's exactly what Easter has brought into your life. Easter has brought a change to your opportunity to be able to sit in the presence of God and to go through the ups and downs of life praying to him. I was talking to a guy called Jack on Thursday. I gave him a call because about a year ago, Jack became a Christian. And I keep hearing him say that his life's gotten a lot better. In particular, he says he's got a lot more peace in his life. And so I rang him and I said, "Just tell me, what is it about Jesus that brings more peace into your life?" And he explained that, and I'm paraphrasing, but he explained that when you realize God cares, when you realize that you have worth in God's eyes, when you realize that in your suffering you can actually give it over to God, and you know that if you persevere like Jesus, in the end you have the hope of eternal life, there is great peace and great joy. This is why Easter has the power to lift your spirits no matter what you're going through. Today we've heard that whatever you're going through, whatever anxieties and troubles, the resurrection of Jesus means peace with God, joy in prayer, and an eager expectation that one day you'll be able to meet the Lord and live with him forever. This is great hope. And if you want to look more into this hope, come back. Find out more next week about the hope that we have. I know Dave Jensen, who's speaking, is an excellent speaker, and he'll come and open up more about why we can have hope because of what Jesus has done. For now, I just want to say there's lots of things that bring happiness at Easter. Happy Easter. I've given you three headings today, but if a different speaker got up and spoke from the same passage, they could have given you extra things. There's no shortage of the amount of joy and happiness that Easter Sunday brings to those who believe. And I'm going to invite the band to come. One of the fun things we do at church is we sing, because singing is something you do when you're celebrating. And this is a day of celebration. I want to highlight some of the lyrics that we're about to sing. It says this, "O death, where is your sting? O hell, Where is your victory? O church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Happy Easter.